And gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Voice a little bit rough today. It's been a long night, long day. I want to welcome each and every one of you to our program. Thanks so much for your belief and your trust in us as we lay bare the truth and the machinations of the evil ones, for sure. Where do you start? I guess we'll start here. I want to thank each and every one of our service members serving and retired. I want to thank you for your sacrifice for protecting our country. Also, I want to make sure everyone knows this is not just about picnics, and this three-day weekend is not about picnics and just taking 3 days off at the beach. This holiday weekend, Memorial Day, commemorates those who have fallen while protecting our country. Whether or not... And we have discussions like this every Memorial Day weekend, or people say, well, you understand what war is. We understand what war is, but the fact of the matter is the men and women who are killed in the line of duty are still dead. And we thank them for their service, and we pray for their families, and we understand the sacrifices that they've made. So take a moment this Memorial Day weekend, not just to contemplate what this weekend is about, but to make sure you tell others what this weekend is about. Those who are simply surfing at the beach or skateboarding down the walkway or whatever, this is a time to reflect and pray and give thanks, mm-hmm. for sure. You know,
so this holiday, like so many holidays, people really forget what the meanings and the reasons for celebrating them are.
Do you have your reason?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm with you for this segment.
All right.
No ears, no headphones.
All right.
But the, Memorial Day is to remember in memory and in honor the, as you said, the soldiers and people who died to, bring us the freedoms in this nation. And like so many holidays this, in the time that we live in, people use it just as an excuse to get an extra day off or to drink or, you know, to do whatever without even considering why it is we celebrate this holiday. And it is important to remember, as the summer months, we see a number of holidays that honor our troops and the men who have fallen and died for the freedoms to be able to continue in this country. And,
yeah,
you know, a prayer,
sure.
To the families who are left. If there's ever a time for a true memorial, you know, the Memorial Day and July 4th, are definitely two. You know, we see, the vigils and memorials from the Manchester attack. And I don't know why I just brought that up, but, you know, I saw an American flag at one of the, I was just looking at some pictures there. But, you know, we're still in a war. We're still in a time of conflict. And I'm sure it's no surprise to many. The Islamic State calls for all out war on West during holy month of Ramadan, which has started today. And we're in as much conflict in this country right now almost as any time in history. You know, there's not a world war declared, but, you know, we're not only in a combat war with radicals and the Islamic State in this country, but
they're not radicals. They're just
For the media, for the
okay,
people in government,
right? They're Muslims. They're simple as that. They're Muslims. And go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, no, and
to watch our terminology,
yeah.
I think.
Well, yeah, the Muslims and then, you know, the political radicals. it's a battle that's intensifying and increasing, and it shows no signs of stopping. And without skipping a beat, as many expected, as Ramadan starts today, the Islamic State called for followers to launch all-out war on the West during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, as they say here, which begins Saturday. Calls come after the deadliest Ramadan on record last year, when more than 400 people were killed and 700 injured in terrorist attacks around the globe. And you know, will this Ramadan 2017, be a mirror or worse than last year? Many think it will be.
And every year we get, Joe, every year we get the notices from their law enforcement sensitive notices every year that we get them. And of course, much interest and focus is on Las Vegas this year, New York, specifically Times Square, Penn Station, many of the transportation hubs. Look, it's going to happen here. What happened in Manchester is going to happen here. It's just a matter of time. And yet these morons that want to bring more Muslims into this country to distill, dilute, contaminate, and ultimately upend our moral cultural heritage and upset the balance of life. These people, and we're going to have Randall Terry on at the bottom of the hour. These people don't want to assimilate. They want to conquer. That's their main goal. Before we get into things, I just want to read a transcript of a partial, just two or three sentences from the transcript from Hillary Rodham Clinton from Wellesley.
Yeah. Go ahead, because there's interesting. Here's she had a coughing fit.
Well, exactly. Here's the first three sentences of her speech. And I quote,
wait, lozenge. You know, that ammonia has lasted longer than the Russian collusion investigation. Yeah, the Hillary Clinton gave a commencement speech at a graduation in Wesleyan, which is her alma mater. And there's some interesting sound bites that came out of that. She referenced Pizzagate. She referenced Donald Trump. She had a coughing fit. She also said that it was hard not to lose control during the inauguration. And I haven't mentioned this to you yet, but driving today on my way to work, there was a bar by my house that has a sign with the changeable letters. And on the billboard outside of the bar, it said, "Congratulations, Hillary Clinton, for getting back into the political arena." They were referring to her speech at Wesleyan, but it was a congratulatory a message to her, which made no sense to me. I wanted to go in. I wanted to take a picture and then go in and ask the owner what that was about, but I figured not today. But she
not today.
She made some comments about the inauguration and how she had a tough time attending Donald Trump's inauguration, saying she was still in the ritualistic process mode when she attended Trump's inauguration, and she had doubts of being able to make it through without visibly losing control. But again, she had a coughing fit, as my dad just pointed out. And you remember during the campaign, she had many coughing fits at different rallies and speeches, as well as her fainting and collapse at the 9/11 memorial, walking back to her vehicle. And the media wanted to portray all this as, you know, conspiracy theories when people were talking about her health and her not being fit to serve and that something was wrong with her physically. And they would blame it on allergies and pneumonia. Well, they haven't changed their tactics, as this time they continue to blame, she blamed it on her allergies. But as I said when you were ending the coughing fit there, her allergies and pneumonia have lasted longer than the investigation, the fake investigation into Trump's Russia collusion narrative. And many people have speculated that she has some kind of chronic illness, but I wonder, I mean, that seems to, something's going on with her.
Right, and just to be clear, I would not, to me, making fun of someone who has got an illness is not what I'm attempting to do.
No.
What the issue here is the media's total lack of seriousness or lack of investigative journalism into really what's behind that. It's not making fun of her. It's making light of the media and the total ignorance of the people. I think that's really the story here.
Mm-hmm.
And if she is ill, certainly, you know, she's got my prayers, but nonetheless, the reluctance of the media to cover the sickness or whatever might be behind that. And yet the allergies, come on. No. There's something else going on there. So, to be sure.
And during that speech, she also said that, Trump will be impeached.
Yes.
And folks, you can find the video. It's all over the place. Again, she referenced Pizzagate, and she says, what she said in the commencement address is she brought up the obstruction of justice and warned of the steps to authoritarianism, also saying that, He's going to be taken out of office in disgrace after his impeachment for the obstruction of justice to the campus erupting in cheers when she said it. So congratulations, all you graduates at Wesleyan who cheered for that. You're literally cheering for your own demise and the demise of this country. So great job.
Yeah. The Center for Medical Progress is back in the news.
Mm-hmm.
This federal judge yesterday said he's going to consider holding the Center for Medical Progress in contempt after links to videos that the judge had barred from release appeared on the website of the man's attorneys.
This was posted on Hagman Report yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And the videos are horrific in terms of what was said by some of these people at the conference for the, what is it, National Abortion Federation, or
this was audio for me that was over a year old, or
right.
Between 2014 and 2016.
Right.
That the Center for Medical Progress had obtained, and they were ordered by the judge in California to basically cease and desist their releasing of videos as they were charged, for basically recording people without their permission. But what was interesting
is there's no expectation of privacy there, though.
No, and what continues to happen with these stories is that the Center for Medical Progress, the media takes the Center for Medical Progress and makes their actions the headline and the content of the stories instead
right.
of what the Center for Medical Progress actually obtained when recording these Planned Parenthood people conspiring and colluding to continue to sell baby parts and baby organ harvesting. But they don't ever focus on that. They only want to focus on the Center for Medical Progress and their continued actions of defying the judge.
Certainly some, and I've seen Christians rise up and say, well, my goodness, how can the Center for Medical Progress, in fact, I had a column written about me by some so-called Christian that took the side of essentially of Planned Parenthood, because how could any Christian go undercover? Really? That's your argument? And call themselves a Christian. And that's your argument?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Weak.
Yeah. But nonetheless, we should keep our eyes on this, because I think this is a travesty of justice that's taking place right now, with the Center for Medical Progress. And see what the people behind that organization, they're just paying and paying and paying and paying the legal fees, which add up very quickly. You've got to understand that's a tactic of the left, of the progressives, is to sue people into bankruptcy. And lawfare is so critical, a critical component of what's taking place, just as is hitting the sponsors, Sean Hannity's sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
I got an email from a person today who contacted one of the sponsors that pulled out of representing Sean Hannity, or pulled out of supporting Sean Hannity. And it was really interesting because the response was, we don't want to get involved in any controversial programming. So what do you call, advertising on, for example, the logo channel or the
Rachel
channels?
Maddow.
Yeah, right, exactly. It depends on the definition of controversial. And I want to thank people who did hear last night's show. If you haven't heard it, it's the featured show on our channel. If you haven't done so, please subscribe to our channel. And I just want to throw this out there. This is going to be a working weekend for pretty much all of us here. We're going to be taking a look, or doing what we can, to continue to expose the evil stuff behind, well, the Pedigate stuff, the Seth Rich murder. We're going to be working with others to expose everything. And we want to thank you for your support. It means a lot to us. We're running on fumes. We're outpacing our supply lines. So if you have contributed, thank you so very much. And if you feel that you want to, we certainly can accept it right now. Certainly would welcome your financial support right now, because we're doing everything we can. We're going in 15 different directions. We are really, we're doing our best with respect to budgeting our time and our money. And we are supporting others as much as we are, attempting to advance these investigations forward. So I want to say thank you for those who have already contributed. If you could see your way through to contribute, we would welcome that. We thank you for that. You can do it via PayPal. There's a PayPal button on our website. If not, you can just, certainly we accept by mail and support our advertisers too. And if you are a business and want to advertise, know that we'll, you know, we'll stand behind you, of course. I want to thank you for that. And, we're not going to back down. We're not going to back off of any investigations. And by the way, Liz Croken, I spoke to her today. She's not backing off of anything. She's taking a break from, temporarily taking a break from the Seth Rich investigation. There's some other things going on. So don't think that Liz is not continuing what she's doing. She is. She's just kind of taking a break. I just want to make that clear. And by the way, subscribe to our YouTube channel and the various social networking, channels as well. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, if you guys hear the dog in the background, we have two studio dogs in here today.
Jackie Brothers.
Not only Lady, but Jackie's dog, Theo. Yeah, let's, it's Friday and.
Yeah, show Theo.
It's such a cute dog. Uh-oh. It's a rescue dog that Jackie and Eric got.
I think it's underneath me.
And,
he's underneath me.
We were going to mention this yesterday when Eve came on, but it actually gave studio dog Lady kennel cough and had to have some time off. And now Theo is back in the studio.
It's Friday, right? There's Theo.
Yeah, what a cute dog.
This is my daughter's dog. This is my daughter's dog, Theo. You want to say something? Huh? What?
What a cute dog. But yeah, I don't know how many people saw this. This is a story that's gone widely unreported. Growing concern over brothers arrested with guns, bomb-making materials. This happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There are growing concerns that the arrest of two brothers with ties to Middle East, who authorities say had an arsenal with bomb-making materials, guns, and ammunition in the car. 27-year-old Abdullah Afri and 26-year-old Majid Afri were arrested on May 11th in North Minneapolis. They were being held in Hepin County Jail, and the brother was released and is facing minor charges. Now, WCCO-TV confirmed that both Homeland Security and the FBI were involved in this investigation, which started outside a federally subsidized senior housing project. A Good Samaritan confronted the men about littering from their car. The two men asked for his name, who was not going to be released due to fear for his safety. He said the brothers jumped out of the car, moved aggressively toward him using racial slurs, the N-word. Then he called police. Inside of the brothers' car, police found a loaded AK-47, another rifle, handguns, grenades, large amounts of ammunition, and what would later be identified as bomb-making materials, also including a drone. The Abdullah Afri has been released from jail, was recently released from jail after serving time for a weapons conviction. He now faces a felony weapons charge, and the brother was released from jail facing a low-level misdemeanor charge. The Good Samaritan is outraged that the charges are not more serious. For what they found in the car, this is way too light, he said. But a criminal defense attorney who's not affiliated with the case said prosecutors are doing what they can, and more charges might come down later. But how did a man with ties to the Middle East, ties to terrorism, with a car full of ammunition, bomb-making materials, and a drone get out of prison in an investigation where the Homeland Security and the FBI are involved? That is the question. The Homeland Security and the FBI were asked by WCCO-TV for a comment, and they had no comments to give. Now, you know, this is a disturbing trend. This is something that you've covered, the Muslim training camps in this country, the continued Muslim infiltration. We know what happened with Brandon House, with a man he had attend one of his conferences with firearms streaming live on Facebook, who later went to his car and had multiple guns in his car, which he showcased on a video.
You know,
does Homeland Security and the FBI maybe have something to do with this? I can't see
I don't understand
people with a car full of weapons being able to get out of prison on a misdemeanor charge.
Well, it was an Obama appointed judge. Oh, that was a state. That was through state court, I believe, right? State court. I believe that would be state court, not federal. Those aren't federal.
Well, no, but in the article they say that Homeland Security and the FBI have been involved in the investigation.
All right.
So,
unless they're charged
with
over
the state court, in the state now. But, you know, we see this, so often. And was a terrorist attack prevented by this stop? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know if you saw Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly today, or yesterday, or today.
If say you knew that what it, I know.
Yeah, if you were, if you know what I know, with the terror threats and plots, you would never leave your house. I think it's a bit over-exaggerated, but I think it also speaks to the level of intel that they get with disturbing trends. If you remember, James Comey, during his testimony, stated that there was, in all 50 states, there were over 1,000 active investigations into potential terrorists, in this country that were, you know, basically high priority. So, I guess, what do you guys make of John Kelly and what he said? As I said, I think it's a little exaggerated, but at the same time, I think the threat and the threats are there. It's just, you know, have these people been radicalized? Are they going to act? And it's disturbing to wonder, you know, or to think about the fact that as we move into Ramadan, as we see these, you know, continued calls of ISIS, you know, to attack the West, that we have all these people in the media and in government and in the Hollywood entertainment industry, like Katy Perry, I don't know if you guys saw that, saying, oh, if we just loved each other and coexist and had open borders, everything would be fine.
The Hollywood, and the Hollywood morons.
The media wanting to, every time there's a terrorist attack, saying, well, it's because they have they're poor and they don't understand and they can't assimilate because of the racism out there, making excuses for these people. And it's very disturbing. So during this Memorial Day holiday, keep your eyes open. It's never a bad idea. We talked with Bob Griswold about situational awareness, and it's something that we need to make sure that we're on top of, because as we said at the beginning of the show, we're moving into times that are continuing to be dangerous, and we are in a battle. We are in a war.
100%. Does it feel different without the ears in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I thought. I'm a little bit off.
Feel freer.
No, but I'm a little bit off. I can't hear the prompts and everything. Anyway, one of if you check my Twitter feed, I'm not sure if Hagman Report picked up on this yet, but on the, are we okay? Yeah, okay. Noises.
No,
noises.
My phone beeped.
All right. The leading young Democrat in de Blasio administration employee, they've got a, he's got a secret taste for the young, shall we say, from 6 months old to 16, computer porn on his computer was found.
Yes.
Jacob Swartz, 29, was arrested for reportedly keeping more than 3,000 absolutely disgusting and repulsive images of, and 89 videos on a laptop. Now, again, this is de Blasio administration employee. And we have a message for the people out there like that. We are coming for you. Trust me when I tell you, we're coming for you. Do you feel the heat yet? The overlapping between the spirit cooking, the satanic ritual abuse, as out there as you might think it would be, the child pornography, the homicides, including but not limited to, in my personal belief, people such as Seth Rich all have ties at some level to this kind of to child porn and to the perverse. Now,
real quick, you mentioned the spirit cooking.
Yeah.
And we talked about Katy Perry.
Right.
Jackie showed me this, I think, last week. There's a video that Katy Perry made showcasing cannibalism and spirit cooking. And I'm looking for the name right now. Eric, do you Bon Appetit is the name of the song. And folks, if you want to check out the video, mute the sound, watch the video. It's pretty disturbing.
Well, there are clubs out there that actually serve breast milk. They serve human breast milk. They serve human tincture or concoctions with human blood. They serve placentas. As crazy as it sounds, and you're going to say, "Well, prove it." Well, okay.
Prove it wrong.
Well, it's you can go on the internet. If you go on the dark web,
The
locations are there.
I sent you a link maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, about a restaurant in L.A. that
Yes,
claim
yes,
to serve
yes,
human meat.
Yeah, and I'm not exactly certain that I had probably a half a dozen links like that. A lot of this was from
well, folks, you look
I'm not going to get into this.
Cannibalclub.org. Cannibalclub.org. And what is showcased on this website, it says, specializing in the preparation of human meat. Cannibal Club brings a cutting edge of experimental cuisine to the refined palates of LA's cultural elite. And there is a menu on the
normalizing
the website. But yeah, I mean, is stuff like this real? Are they actually serving human meat? I can't see how in the world they'd be legally allowed to do such a thing. But then again, that's LA and California.
And we're seeing an uptick in websites, these clubs, California, New York, where they have basically orgies and swinging parties, and you know, they're making no efforts to hide any of this. And it's just, it's, and again, I'm not going to put up the links or whatever, but you can find them for a fee. You can join, and then for an additional fee, you can attend parties. If you're a single male, it's a lot more expensive than if you come with a female. And of course, you engage in sexual activity. And a lot of Hollywood, the Hollywood elite get involved in this. Actors, actresses, and people. So, alright. Coming up is going to be Randall Terry, and Randall Terry is going to address the Manchester bombing and what the threat level is here in the United States. Don't forget, we are at war, or Muslims are at war with us. We have to prepare. And, Randall Terry is going to lay it all out following that. Steve Quayle and Pastor Langford. All right.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
So what would Muhammad do here in this long vacation-style weekend, Memorial Day weekend? Don't forget why. Don't forget the reason behind the weekend. But what would Muhammad do? Obviously, Muhammad would take pack on a homicide belt, throw a few nails in there, go to Times Square in Los Angeles and blow people up. That's what, apparently. Trading Post in the Woods. You heard from Eve Gonzalez this week. Folks, Trading Post in the Woods, they've got some great products. Visit TradingPostInTheWoods.com. That's TradingPostInTheWoods.com. Green Innovative as well. Visit Green Innovative for all of your battery charging needs. Minuteman Stove, MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. And, of course, T.C. Joseph. This generation series of novels. You know, all that I mentioned there, healthmasters.com as well. Everything I mentioned, Father's Day is coming up. Pick something, support our sponsors. And speaking of picking something and supporting our sponsors, how about the DVD, What Would Muhammad Do? That series, of course. And with us is Randall Terry to tell us a little bit about what's going on with respect to all of the terrorist attacks, including but not limited to Manchester, the terror level threat here, what we face. And with that, without further ado, we're going to turn it over to Randall Terry. Randall Terry, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
As always, it's my pleasure. Good to be with you again.
Good to have you. Where do you want to start, my man?
Well, when we see these attacks and then we say, I don't understand, I don't get it. And I went through some of my notes. As you know, I've been studying Islam for 10 years and thousands of hours. And Muhammad said some really interesting things. The root word for terrorism is terror. And Muhammad made no bones about the fact that he used terror. He said, I have been given superiority over the other prophets in that I have been made victorious by terror. I have been given superiority over the other prophets victorious by terror. Now, Muhammad, you don't know, the founder of Islam, said he was the last prophet. He said that Moses was a prophet, and David was a prophet, Abraham was a prophet, Jesus, the Baptist prophets, and that between Christ and Muhammad, there were no other prophets.
Hey, Randall.
Was the last prophet. Yes.
Sorry for interrupting. We're getting that static feedback again. And it's, just in the last few sentences, you couldn't hear what you were saying.
Drowning out your feed.
Did this help in any way, what I just did?
Well, yeah, you sound fine right now. We can keep talking, and I'll let you know if it does come back.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. I apologize.
No problem.
So, Muhammad said that he was the last prophet, that he was the most important prophet. And he said he had been given superiority over the other prophets because he was allowed to use terror. Now, this is interesting because he knew enough. He couldn't read and write, but he had people read to him. He knew enough to know that the other prophets were not using terror for conversion. Jesus never said to his apostles, go kill people, cut their heads off, rape their wives, take them as slaves. But Muhammad gave those instructions to his followers repeatedly. And so it was kind of a coming clean moment for him, and he knew that his behavior did not square with other prophets, and certainly not Jesus, because Muhammad said that Jesus was the greatest prophet except for him, Muhammad. So Muhammad maybe had some kind of I won't call it a crisis of conscience, but maybe a crisis of logic. And so he said, the reason that I use terror and the other prophets didn't is because I'm superior to them. And then he went on to say, he said, spoils, you know, the stuff you steal in war, he said, spoils have been made lawful for me. So, for example, he knew that Jesus said, foxes have dens, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have any place to lay his head. Well, he, Muhammad, he killed people. He stole their houses, stole their wives, stole their weapons, stole their ability to make a living. And that, again, he said, the spoils of war have been made lawful for me. So when we see what's going on in Manchester, there's some of us that go, most of us who are just have a natural repugnance toward this would say, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? They're doing it, and I know this is going to sound crazy, they think that they're evangelists. They think that they are actually going to convert people to Islam by terror, because that's what Muhammad did in Arabia 1400 years ago. Or Muhammad said, he instructed his generals, go and fight them until they swear that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. He said, if they won't say that, get them to pay the jizya tax and get them to come under your protection. So, in other words, get them to submit to Sharia law. And that's exactly what they want us to do. When they kill people, when they commit acts of terror, they have these verses ringing in their ears. Like Quran chapter 8 says, go make ready your steeds of war and strike terror into the hearts of your enemies. That's what Quran chapter 8 says. So they have these verses ringing in their heart. Strike terror. Use terror. Muhammad was made victorious with terror. And what they believe is that people will say, wow, you guys are so brave. You're so heroic. We understand Muhammad is the prophet of God. There's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Or they'll say, we don't really believe that, but we'll obey Sharia law. We'll submit to Sharia law. We won't mock Muhammad. We won't speak ill of Muhammad. We won't publicly declare that Jesus is the Son of God. And thereby, Islam is victorious. As Muhammad said, I have been made victorious through terror. That's what's going on, and that's how they think. That's what they're thinking. That's what their writings say. That is what they're thinking.
Yeah, and we see the continued calls, you know, that it's Ramadan just starting now. We see out of the UK, the Yahoo News is reporting that the Islamic State is calling for an all-out war on the West during the holy month of Ramadan. Last year was one of the deadliest Muslim holiday seasons of Ramadan on record. And Randall, what we're seeing, you know, with this attack on Manchester right before Ramadan, there's been 11 arrests connected to that attack. That's kind of been a fact that's not been in the news. The death toll's been raised to 23. Do you expect this to be just as bad, if not worse, as last year?
I don't know. In part, it depends upon two key elements. One is, how good is the intel that we have to stop these attacks? And number two, how many assets does the Islamic State, or how many lunatics does the Islamic State have on the ground? Because you have to remember, they don't have, Muslim terrorists are not signing up for a club. They're not going to basic training in Algeria or in Libya or in Syria. They're reading material online. They're reading what Muhammad said. They're reading what Muhammad did. And then ISIS or Al-Qaeda, whatever, is saying, go mimic this. Go do this. So, you know, when you look at the San Bernardino bomber, there's a spirit of murder. These are murderers, all right? They're murderers. And you had a woman who just had a baby. Was she in postpartum depression in addition to being in a violent religion? In other words, what can possibly possess the mind of a mom of a newborn to go and to murder people knowing that she's going to die? And that's the plan. They want to die. So I don't know what assets the Islamic State has on the ground. Now, they send out this message, go and kill in the name of Allah, kill during Ramadan. So right now in America, in Europe, there are tens of millions of Muslims who know that ISIS has said this. How many of them are willing to carry it out? And that's what we don't know. And how many of our law enforcement officials know that they might carry it out. And herein lies one of our most insane suicide on the installment plan policies. And that is that in the federal government with law enforcement under Obama, and it hasn't changed yet under President Trump, law enforcement officials are not allowed to do religious profiling. Now, what that means is, I just quoted to you from three of hundreds of verses in the Quran and in the Hadith where Muhammad said to use terror or to use jihad. All right? Fight them in the way of Allah. Hundreds of passages. So if a Muslim is reading only those passages, just let's say they're immersing themselves in 300, 350 verses from the Quran and various passages of the Hadith, or Muhammad's biographies, and all they're doing is trying to pluck up their courage and become stout-hearted enough to carry out one of these terrorist attacks. And all they're reading are these passages. Well, under President Obama, those passages are deemed to be religious because they come from the Quran, and they come from the Hadith, and they come from the Sirahs, the biographies. And a law enforcement official, if he sees that this terrorist or possible terrorist is reading only those passages, it's all they're reading, online, going to the bookstore, buying these books, they are to disregard those readings. They're to disregard the fact that that Muslim is reading those passages because, well, that's religious material, and if you were to profile him based upon reading the Quran and reading the Hadith, that's a violation of his constitutional rights, and we forbid you to do it by policy. This is insanity. This is crazy.
It is. And if I can just mention this, it's interesting. I find this interesting today that a federal district court judge overturned the sentence of Lee Boyd Malvo,
DC sniper.
And it's unfortunate, and it's more than that. To me, it angers me the fact that the DC snipers, if you ask anybody on the street today, they don't associate them with Muslims. You know, but
he
having said that,
terrorist. He was a Muslim terrorist.
Exactly. And his life sentence was overturned by a federal district court judge. So
to be sentenced again.
To be sentenced again, right. But all that aside, this is part of it. The fact that we have allowed Muslims into this country, in my view, Muslims into this country, period, without a loyalty, some sort of loyalty test, I don't know what that would be, is insane. Islam is a cult. I pointed this out very well. But if you do us a favor as well at this point, let people know, and I would really urge people to grab a hold of this gentleman's materials. But let people know where they can get your materials and what they are. That would help them understand the threat that we are facing, and I mean the depth of the threat we're facing, so they can talk with authority to others.
Yes. All right. I'm going to do something that I have never done, and once again, something new for your show, because you guys have been so great and your viewers are so awesome. And those of you who haven't had this in the past, forgive me, okay? We'll call this the Memorial Day. Let's do this in memory of the fallen dead. We produced a 4-DVD set called What Would Muhammad Do? Islamic Terrorism Explained. And the set only uses Islamic material. And I don't mean like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. I mean the Quran, the Hadith, the biographies of Muhammad. And so we look at Muhammad's life, and then we see how Muslim terrorists are imitating it. They can go to randallterry.com and they can watch one episode for free if they like what they see. Anyone from the Hagman Report who orders one set, we will, from now until the end of Memorial Day, till Monday night, we will give a second set for free with this condition. You have to give the second set away. You can't let it sit in your house. I don't want you to sell it. Give it away to your pastor or your priest. Give it away to your chief of police. Give it away to your fire chief. Give it to your county sheriff. Give it to your mayor. wherever it is that you have access to people that have, that are in leadership, whether it's political leadership, law enforcement leadership, religious leadership, buy one set from now, Friday night, while we're recording this, until Monday night, the end of Memorial Day. And we will send you two sets for the price of one. They're $35 for four DVDs. That has 20 episodes, okay? And we deal with rape. We deal with anti-Semitism. We deal with jihad, killing apostates. Terror as a means of evangelism. It's just soup to nuts, a look at Islamic Sharia law and how it's anchored in Muhammad's life and therefore why terrorists are doing what they do. So we will give, call up the number 304-289-3700. I'll give that number one more time. They can go to randallterry.com and order it online, or one of my staff will be happy to take the phone call. Sometimes I pick up the phone. Sometimes our office manager picks up the phone. But it's 304-289-3700. And I understand that you gentlemen have a clip. Is it, Eric, do we still have that?
We do.
You want to go ahead and roll that? So people know. I'll tell one other thing. I was just with a former Muslim imam. He was an imam in Egypt, born and raised Muslim, part of the Muslim Brotherhood, who converted to Christ. And an incredible testimony. His own dad tried to kill him. His dad is still a Muslim in the Muslim Brotherhood. So this man is in his 40s now, and he said to me, he said, this is the best thing on the life of Muhammad I've ever seen. Now this is a former Muslim imam, and he said, there's nothing like this anywhere. And I got a call yesterday from a former Israeli general who watched it and called me up and said, Randall, this is unbelievable. What do we have to do to get this into 10% of the whole world? Not the whole world. That would be too hard, but just 10% of the whole world. So we've worked hard, spent a lot of time, a lot of money, voice actors, artists, and we'll go ahead and roll the tape. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
No, that's good. And that's good to know. And it shows the value of the material. Okay, we're going to roll this and take advantage of that special, folks. Go ahead.
For me to say something?
Muslim deceivers today falsely claim that jihad, holy war, is only an interior struggle against sin, or that violent war is the lesser jihad, and that the greater jihad is spiritual warfare against the lower self. This is total deception. The vast majority of references in the Quran and Hadith regarding jihad mean bloody war, killing, acts of terror, not an internal struggle against sin. Another false argument is that jihad is only defensive, to militarily defend lands currently controlled by Muslims. But these lands did not belong to Muslims. They were conquered and stolen in aggressive, unprovoked wars from marauding Muslim armies who followed Muhammad's orders. This is what Sharia law states about jihad, based on the Quran and Muhammad's example. Jihad is a communal obligation for every able-bodied male who has reached puberty. If it was just an internal struggle, they wouldn't have to be able-bodied.
If none of those concerned perform jihad, and it does not happen at all, then everyone who is aware that it is obligatory is guilty of sin, if there was a possibility of having performed it.
Guilty of sin for not having fought in jihad. Muhammad made clear the main purpose of jihad was forced conversion to Islam. He said,
I have been commanded to fight people until they testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. If they say it, they have saved their blood and possessions from me.
Converting non-Muslims was more important to Muhammad than killing them or robbing them. If they converted, They became his obedient subjects. He would have their lives and possessions at his disposal. But if they would not convert, he would kill them and seize their belongings.
There you have it.
Yeah, you know, and what's changed? We see the same, obviously, the same beliefs, the same carrying out of those beliefs, the killing, especially in the Middle East with, you know, the overthrow of so many of the governments, where you have the Islamic State and other Islamic organizations forcing, you know, beheading people, forcing people to pay a tax, and or killing them and oppressing them if even when they you know, accept or convert or whatever it is. And now they're, you know, they're pushing here in America in the school systems and in other places to, you know, become more Sharia compliant, which is obviously, you know, you can't implement Sharia law in this country. It's complete opposite to the Constitution. And where will this end? And who knows that? So,
well, it won't end for a while, unfortunately, but it can end sooner if we recognize the threat. And part of the problem is that as Americans, we are, and I say this tongue in cheek, but we are genetically predisposed to be tolerant of religion. It's our First Amendment. You're one religion, I'm another. He's no religion at all. Whatever. Hey, want to go shoot pool? In other words, it's a part of our political creed. It's a part of the very fabric of our society because of the way America was founded. So when somebody like me comes on your show, or you guys as hosts talk about Islam, inherent in what we're saying, clearly, is that Islam itself is the threat. Islam, not radical Islam, not radical Islamic extremists, but Islam, the ideology of Islam, the philosophy of Islam, the laws of Islam. Islam is the threat. Like communism is the threat. It's a socio-political blueprint for the subjugation of the earth. Okay? They don't view themselves as terrorists. They view themselves as evangelists. So we can't grasp that ISIS really represents Islam. That what the people did in San Bernardino or in 9/11 or in Orlando, that is historic Orthodox Islam. So until we grasp what we're dealing with, there's no chance that we're going to win. And that's why we have to study their material. When I started producing, when we started writing What Will Muhammad Do, I made a commitment that I would only refer to their material. Now, most of your viewers are not viewers, they're listeners. And if you had been watching, you saw that every time you heard a reference, the reference is on the screen. Muhammad's voice, Sharia law, all of it. It's all on the screen. Now, with radio, you can't hear that because I'm not saying the reference. But if you get the DVDs, every single reference of every single passage in the Quran, in the Hadith, and in the biographies, it's all there. So this is like a college education. This is like a, I don't even want to say it. It's like a master's degree in study of Islamic terrorism and Islam using only their material. That was my commitment when I did it, to be respectful, and to only use their material to let Islam speak for itself.
Randall, you mentioned that we, in order to combat this, first we have to recognize it. I want to ask your opinion on this, and I know we've talked about this before, but every time we see one of these terrorist attacks, whether in the U.S. or, you know, elsewhere, and just today there was 28 Christians, Coptic Christians in Egypt, killed in a machine gun attack by Islamists. But we see the media talking.
I was in meetings all day. I did not know that.
We see the, you know, every time one of these attacks happen, and this is becoming more prevalent, we see the media coming out and saying, well, yeah, the attack's terrible, but what about the Islamophobia this is going to create? And we see the media's push, you know, for, you know, oh, we can solve this by love, and, you know, more open borders, more bringing in this Islamic invasion.
They're flipping morons.
Is it that they don't know, or do they know exactly what they're doing, in your opinion?
Let me make this challenge to the media, all right? first of all, they're either morons or they are antichrist. And what I mean by that is this. If they're morons or idiots, it just means that they're not, they haven't said, okay, I'm going to do something crazy. I'm going to use a search engine. So somebody could go online right now and put the word terror into a search engine for the Quran. There are multiple Quranic search engines available. Just put in the word terror. And then watch all of the verses come up and then read them all. And then go to the hadith collection, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and others, and put in the word terror. This is not hard. So if a journalist really wanted to know, they could know. So they're either morons or they're so anti-Christ, we're out of time, that they side with Islam more than they side with freedom. Can I give out that phone number one more time?
Yeah, go ahead.
304-289-3700. We will give a free set. You order one set from now till Memorial Day. We'll give you a second set for free. Go to randallterry.com to order online or call up 304-289-3700, and a live operator will either call you back if it goes to voicemail or we'll pick up your call.
You are the man, Randall Terry. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
When we come back, Pastor David Langford and Steve Quayle. Thank you, Randall Terry. You have a great Memorial Day holiday.
And yes. And by the way, while we're in break here, as we're going to break, let me just say, it's my understanding that does come with a jihad, a guy dressed in all black with a bomb strapped to his chest. Not funny.
All right, Randall.
That was good.
Sadly.
have a good evening.
You too. God bless you guys.
God bless you too.
In your life, it's really neat, really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.